Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life, share your prayer requests or pray for others, read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store.
Hey, I want to preach a message this morning called God Is. Everybody say God Is. Fantastic. You're awake this morning. That's good news. And I want to unpack this morning. I want to speak some life and some truth into your world this morning. Is that okay? Would you give me license this morning to speak life and truth into your world? I want to ask, would you open your heart this morning, not to the words that a frail young man stands here with this morning, but to the fact that in the Bible there is truth and there is life that God wants to impart into your world this morning. I want to ask you, church, would you open your heart to that this morning? Let me ask you a question today. Are there any, you can put your hand up, but are there any forgetful people here this morning? Is there anyone at all that's a forgetful person? Fantastic. We're running at about 50%. The other 50% looked at their neighbour and said, I can't remember. And I don't know about you, but I guarantee we all have moments of forgetfulness. I wonder if you've ever had a day, had a week, a season where you needed reminding of who God is. I sat with someone yesterday, I won't disclose names, and I'm in the middle of preparing my notes for this morning, and I sit with this person and they begin to tell me about a moment in their week where they found themselves in a situation where everything in the day had kind of built to this climax, where everything had gone wrong. Have you ever had one of those moments where you just go, what else can happen? And then something that on any given day when you're doing fine, it'd be kind of like, man, that's a shame, we'll deal with that. But it's just that last straw that you're just going, man, this is ridiculous. I can't take any more. It's interesting. I think we all have those moments. We all have those weeks. And we all have those seasons. Again, I won't disclose names. But the gentleman I was talking to quickly told me that in that moment, he phoned home to talk to his wife. And as only our precious wives can, they begin to remind us frail husbands of who God is. And I'm sitting there listening to that and I'm going, isn't that true? How often do we need someone in our world to remind us who God is? Because there are moments where I think we just get bogged down in life and life just throws so much at us, we just tend to forget who God is. Are you with me this morning? Can I tell you this morning that God is a good God? Amen? Amen. God is a good God. Our God is the only one and true living God. And he's a God that loves us all very, very, very dearly. Are you with me this morning? I want you to open your Bibles. If you have your Bibles, if you have an app, open it up to 1 John chapter 1. It'll be up on the screen. We're going to skip around a little bit this morning. But I want to begin this morning to declare to us as a church, remind us who God is. 1 John 1:5 reads this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Aren't you glad about that today? God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Church, let me tell you this morning that God knows no lack. God is not a God who lacks. God knows no evil this morning. He never has, he never will. And God has no rival. We sing it all the time, God has no equal. Let me remind you this morning that God is Abba Father and that in him and through him, all things are indeed possible. Can I hear an amen? All things are possible. But I reckon there's a dilemma. Often we know that this is true, and often we can walk into church on a Sunday morning and we can sing those songs. You have no rival, you have no equal. now and forever, God, you will reign. Songs like this, words like this, and we know them to be true. But how quickly can we launch into our week? And maybe by Tuesday or Wednesday, maybe it's Friday, maybe it's Monday morning, all of a sudden, our feelings are telling us a very, very different equation. How quickly our feelings can begin to cause us to doubt God's ability. Are you with me today? Can I suggest to you this morning that maybe I'm not the only one, but we can all become incredibly battle weary, knocked around by life, knocked around by the things we face, and knocked around by life's associated battles. Am I speaking to anyone at all today? Little surprises, little things that pop up, moments where we just go, I can't take this any longer. Can I suggest to you this morning, church, there's some good news. Little surprise, I think, when we reference the nature of our battles, little surprise that there are moments where we feel tired, where we feel weary, where we feel a little bit done. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Church, can I encourage you this morning? You have good reason, perhaps, to feel battle weary. Can I suggest to you today, there is good reason why you feel battle weary? What do I mean? I think when we reference the terms on which we do life as a battle that is a spiritual battle, which means we have a spiritual opposition, there is good reason when there are moments we just feel like, I can't take this anymore. Can I suggest to you this morning that it's absolutely imperative that we guard our hearts and our minds against allowing the reality of our surrounds to reduce the ability of our great God? Can I say that again this morning? It's absolutely imperative that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, guard our hearts and our minds against the reality of our surrounds to reduce the ability of our great God. Thank you. God bless you. Can I suggest to us this morning, church, that we must recognize that our feelings don't always reflect the facts. And so often as human beings, and God made us who we are, and it's perfectly natural that we would have feelings and that we would have emotions. God gave us those things. But can I tell you this morning that there are moments in life where our feelings actually take us off course, and where our feelings begin to override the facts about who God is. Let me help you just for a moment. Thinking in this way, just for a moment, why don't you stop and think about a little David bending down at a creek bed, picking up stones, ready to fight Goliath. Can I suggest to you this morning that he perhaps had some feelings that were contradicting the facts that were about to transpire? See, Goliath was big, but can I tell you this morning, God is bigger. Think about the walls of Jericho. I don't know about you, but I'll only take orders for so long before I begin to see results. I'll only stay in that place for so long before I start to question someone's leadership, if you like, or don't judge me for that, but I'll just go, man, we've been doing this for days now, round and round and round these walls. Nothing's happening. See, the walls of Jericho were high, but can I suggest to you this morning that God is higher? Can I suggest to you graciously and lovingly this morning that life may not be fair? Life may be tough. You're probably going through some things right now where you're going, man, I don't know how this is going to play out. I feel lonely. I feel isolated. I feel helpless. Can I suggest to you this morning that life may not be fair, but God is always faithful? Can I tell you that again? Goliath may be big, but God is bigger. The walls of Jericho may be high, but God is higher. Life may not be fair, but God is always faithful. Can I hear an amen this morning? Church, let me encourage you today. Do not allow your unknowns to rob you of the known truth and fact of who God is. And God is a good God. Are you with me? Is this helpful for anyone at all this morning? I want to give you 3 points on who God is today. And if you're really, really clever, you will be able to tell me this morning that these are not the only 3 God is factors. And if you'd like to come to me after the service and tell me the ones I missed, God bless you, you can preach next week. I'm kidding. I want to give you 3 this morning. God is. Are you with me? If you're taking notes this morning, write this down. You know this, but I know that you know that I know that you know we all need reminding of who God is. Number 1 this morning is this: God is love. On the count of 3, can you say that for me? 1, 2, 3. God is indeed love. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, these words: Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is... Oh, you're asleep. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is what? God is love. You know what? Here's the thing. Often our feelings say things like this. Have you ever heard that little, perhaps you call it a childhood ditty, that goes, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I might as well eat some worms. Big ones, little ones, fat ones, skinny ones, I might as well eat some worms. Some of you are going, where'd you get that? It's not original. Can I suggest to you this morning that, age irrespective, we have moments where we sing songs like that over our own lives. I don't fit. No one notices me. I'm not loved. Nobody loves me. That's what our feelings tell us. Can I give you a fact this morning? And the fact is simply this: God is love, therefore you are loved. Here's a quote from Max Lucado. I think this is beautiful. He says this: God loves you simply because he has chosen to do so. He loves you when you don't feel lovely. He loves you when no one else loves you. Others may abandon you, divorce you, and ignore you, but God will love you always, no matter what. What beautiful words. We've got to understand, church, that God loves us. God loves you, no matter how many mistakes you make, no matter how many times you get it wrong. God loves you. Are you hearing me this morning? God is love, therefore you are loved. Romans 8:31 says this: What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? If God is for you, and he is, who can be against you? Church, God loves you. God is for you, church. God is for you. Let me tell you today, God is on your side, amen? God is on your side. God is love. Is this good this morning? Point number 2, God is in control. God is in control. Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 9 reads this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Church, God is indeed in control. God is in fact sitting in heaven right now on the throne in control. You can read your newspaper and you can quickly begin to think otherwise. You can watch the 7 o'clock news and hear all the news and you can quickly begin to think otherwise. But let me assure you this morning, God is in control. So you may have feelings that tell you today, Dan, you have no idea. You don't even begin to want to understand how out of control my life is right now. And that may be somewhat true, you know. Perhaps there are things that are going on that you can't control. But let me give you the fact this morning, God is in control. God is in control. I love this quote from Stephen Furtick. He says this, "The only way God can show us that he's in control is to put us in situations that we cannot control." How good's that? The only way God can prove to you that he's in control is to put you in a situation where perhaps you are not in control. I think that's gold. You know, sometimes, forgive me for the cliche, but I believe sometimes we need to truly understand what it is to let go of our situations, to let go and let God. To let go and to let God control that which only he can control. You know, God is in control. Can I suggest to you this morning that because he is in control, we have every good reason to trust him. Amen? Romans 8:28 says this, "We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And God is working for your good, church. Whatever you face right now, whatever season you're in, whether you stand, as Pastor Rose said this morning, on a mountaintop, in a valley, or anywhere in between, can I tell you this morning some good news? God is working on your behalf. The Bible tells us that even when we are sleeping, the God, our God in heaven, our Abba Father in heaven, is still doing his best work on your behalf. Are you glad about that today? I don't know about you, but when I sleep, I'm not overly productive. But when I'm in that moment, my Father who is in heaven is in control and doing his very best work. How good is that? See, God is a good, good God. God is higher. God is working. And God is in control. God is higher. God is working. And God is in control. Control. Are you being reminded of anything at all this morning? No one at all. Fantastic. Glad I put hours work into it. I'm kidding. Number three. God is merciful. God is a merciful God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we read these words. It says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence." Let me pause there for a moment. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Our God's a good God, and it is right that we would have a holy fear of God. But it's equally true that we would have a holy confidence to approach our God in heaven. Let me read on. "So that we may receive," there's that word, mercy, "and find grace to help us in our time of need. I guarantee for every person in this room this morning, there is an area of need in your life. If there isn't, can I suggest this morning, humbly, graciously, and lovingly, if you don't have a need for God this morning, can I suggest to you start digging and start praying very, very, very quickly? God is a merciful God. I'll say it again. Our feelings say things like this. Man, I've ruined it. I've messed this one up. And it's not the first time I've messed up in this way. I've been messing up like this for years now. Surely that's the end of God's mercy. Surely that's the last time God could extend mercy to me. I've messed it up so many times. I have a few favorite preachers, and one of those is, I'm sure, was a dear, dear gentleman, a guy by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He spoke these words about the fact that God is merciful. He said, God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water or deprive the sun of its light or make space too narrow than diminish the great mercy of God. I could sit on that quote for hours and personally be challenged and equally encouraged about the mercy of God. God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water, deprive the sun of its light, or make space too narrow than diminish the great mercy of God. Aren't you glad this morning that God's mercy is fresh and new every single morning? Every moment we wake up, God's mercy is new every morning. Lamentations 3, verse 22 to 24. I want to read from the Message this morning. I love this rendering. It says, God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great your faithfulness. I love this. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. He's all I've got left. I asked you early on, let me ask you again, have you ever had a day, a week, a month, a season, a moment where you find yourself going, man, all I have left is God? Can I suggest to you today that the feeling and the emotion of that moment tells you that you're in a hopeless situation? Can I put forward to you this morning that that might be the feeling, but the fact is, God is God. And you may feel like there's no hope and no future. Can I suggest to you this morning that when God is all you have, you're not in such a bad position? Let me tell you this morning a couple of things around the fact that God is merciful, and it would be wrong for me not to tell you this. But God is a just God. God is a just God. Therefore, he must and he will punish sin. Therefore, he will judge us based on what we've done with our life. Therefore, he will ask us those great questions, I guess you'd say, of what did you do with that which I've given you? And God is just. Therefore, he must punish sin. But can I remind you this morning that God is also merciful? And though he must punish sin, it's not God's nature to go, I want to punish my people. God is merciful, therefore he doesn't want to punish his people. I think sometimes we get this misinterpreted picture of God sitting in heaven. You work with me on this, but God sitting in heaven with a magnifying glass, like that wicked little child running around the backyard trying to set ants alight with the sun coming through the magnifying glass. And we get this picture that for some reason God's in heaven just looking for people to... Can I suggest to you this morning that's not how God operates? God is just, yes. God is merciful. And thirdly, to this point, can I suggest to you today that God is gracious? God is a gracious God. And because he's a gracious God, he sent Jesus. Aren't you glad about that today? Let me remind you this morning, church, God knows no lack. God knows no evil. God has no rival. God has no equal. Our God is our Abba Father, and that in him and through him all things are indeed possible. God is a good God. Are you with me today? I want to wrap this up this morning. I want to read a couple of verses to you. I want to put some thoughts to you this morning. And I want to pre-warn you this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God today. The team can come back. Let me read two verses from Psalm 68, verse 19 and verse 20. It reads this: Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. I'm not sure how you feel about this today, but I am so, so glad. I am so thankful that my Father in heaven is in the business of saving and redeeming. You know what? Perhaps today you find yourself in a week, a moment, a day, a season, a situation, a relationship, a battle that needs a God who can wonderfully save, a God who can wonderfully intervene. Perhaps you need a God to bring some supernatural life into a situation, into a relationship, into a season where it appears to have anything but, and all you can see is natural decline. Perhaps, just maybe, maybe your trust in God was once far stronger than it is today. And just maybe the reality of life, your surrounds, the battle has worn you down. And just maybe this morning, church, there's just still a small flicker of hope in your heart. Can I say this morning, if that's you today, if you know right now that God is speaking into your life, your situation, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God this morning. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning for every single person in this room to make a decision to declare who God is. Because what if today, what if today was the beginning of a journey? What if today was the day that God wanted to turn that small flicker of hope in your life into a raging flame of faith? And He can, and He wants to. And maybe you're sitting there right now going, yeah, I hear, I get it. But now's not a good time in my life. And I feel like anything but ready to declare who God is. I feel anything but ready to praise God, worship God, declare the goodness of God. Can I remind you of someone by the name of Jesus sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane, who cries out to His Father and says, Father, let me paraphrase, church, Father, this ain't fair. Father, there's got to be another way around this. Dad, no. No. I can't go another day feeling like this. I'm not ready to hang on a cross. But then we read the words. Jesus Himself, sitting in the garden, talking to His Father in heaven, prays a prayer that goes along these lines, but yet not my will. Not my will, but Your will be done. Father, have Your way in my life. Church, can I suggest to you this morning that if you're sitting in this room going, I'll declare God's good when God proves Himself as good. I'll declare God is good when I'm standing on the mountain. I'll declare God is good when I feel like declaring God is good. And until I feel like declaring God is good, I'll sit here and I'll just do life referenced on my feelings. Church, can I tell you today, as followers of Jesus Christ, we must not do life based on the way we feel. When it comes to our walk of faith, we must not constantly reference our feelings. Yes, God's given us those. Yes, they're real. No, I'm not making light of them, but our feelings will lead us astray from time to time. Can I suggest to you this morning that we must be able to, like Jesus, find ourselves in a position where we go, my feelings might say this, but the facts are undeniable. And because of those facts, I have a faith that's going to begin to speak life and to acknowledge that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever hope or dream for. A faith that declares God knows no lack, God knows no evil, God has no rival, God has no equal. He's Abba Father, He's our Dad in heaven, and in Him and through Him all things are indeed possible. Because why? God is a good God. Can I tell you this morning, church, God is bigger, God is higher, and God is faithful.